we'll see what happens. Okay, we are on Daf Vav Amud Aleph. I would say three quarters of the way down the page by the two dots. Omer Rav Avin Bar Rav Ado, Omer Rav Yitzchak. Another teaching from Rav Avin Bar Rav Ado in the name of Rav Yitzchak. Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Meniach Tefillin. From where do we know that Hashem puts on tefillin? Obviously, Hashem does not put on tefillin physically. Number one, Hashem is not a physical entity. And number two, that where would the tefillin go? But as we know, that tefillin represents a very special relationship that Hashem and the Jewish people have. And that's the idea, again, the tefillin is called a pe'er, a glory, like jewelry. Just like when a wife puts on jewelry, it's showing that she's married to this man loves me, it's a way that I remember and think about this man. So we put on tefillin, which are symbols of Hashem's Shechina, and we put on our body, it shows we're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we put on tefillin for. So in a certain sense, Hashem puts on tefillin into the extent that he is expressing his closeness to us as well. Okay? And when the Gemara is going to ask, oh, what is it saying God's tefillin? So that means, what are the statements, the themes that God feels towards the Jewish people? So the point is like this. When you put on tefillin, like we said yesterday, there's the action and there's the thought. Okay, we have to do both. But the critical point is the thought. So this morning, when we were bleary-eyed and tired at 6 in the morning, 6:15, like, were we thinking when we're putting on the tefillin? The most important part of the mitzvah is thinking about the close relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's interesting, when you get later on in this Masechta, Daf Chav Dalid, which is was the Daf Yomi yesterday, it talks about Jews who would go into the washroom and what they did with their tefillin when they would go to the washroom. I know it's going to sound strange to you guys, but there's opinions that say that one could urinate with his tefillin up. And you think of that, you go, what? That's like so terrible. That's such a bad outdoors thing. What?
You don't go to the washroom. You would go outdoors with your tefillin, right?
No, no.
No. They went to the washroom. They went to the outhouse. If you were just urinating, and you'd have your tefillin up. So you go, oh, that's terrible. Like, how could you do that? It's such a holy thing, this and that. But the answer is that Jews wore tefillin all day long. Oh. Okay? That was standard procedure.
Like, you still take it off to go to the washroom, though.
Well, do you take your shirt off when you go to the washroom? Do you take your tzitzis off when you go to the washroom?
No.
That's true. Right?
So
the point being, you know, if anybody has a wedding ring, do you take your wedding ring off when you go to the washroom?
Better not.
You know, why is the washroom a place where you don't have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? All right. So we look at that, that's weird. But the answer is, you know, if you go to the washroom, I don't know, 5-6 times a day, you're going to take your tefillin off 5-6 times a day. If the whole idea is just to express your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what you're expressing, your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even when I'm in the washroom, I have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
But we don't hold that way.
Well, it's not a question we don't hold that way. It's we don't wear it all day, so we have to get to the point. But we wouldn't recognize a Jew. We'd recognize, but we think it'd be weird. I mean, they Jews wore their tzitzis on their clothing. Not that they had a separate tzitzis. Your clothing was four cornered. So imagine nowadays you're going to a store. Let's just assume that all the shirts and all the jackets were four-cornered. So now we'd have to buy a suit and now go and affix tzitzis onto these clothing. That's what they did all the time. It was standard procedure. Right? The tefillin were on all day. So if they're on all day, because this is my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, the reason why it stopped is because when your tefillin are on, It demands a certain type of behavior when the tefillin are on, right? You don't pass gas when the tefillin are on. You don't certainly say words that are not appropriate when your tefillin are on. But as people became less close to Hashem, so they couldn't be careful about it. So therefore, people relegated it to when we're davening, because at least for an hour, we can behave properly. Which even now, not in this shul, but in other shuls, it's pretty hard to say that they can even do that for the hour. But that's the idea. So the fact, you know, we look at it, okay, when I'm davening, I express my Jewishness, and then when I'm finished with davening, I don't really have to express it very much. All right, I'm not allowed to do sins and this and that, but I don't have to be so visibly Jewish. So again, no, really, 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 you're supposed to have tefillin on all day. And there were people like the Vilna Gaon who had tefillin on all day. And there are still people, you go to Eretz Yisrael, you go to Yerushalayim, you go to where there's very holy people, you know, the Kabbalists, yeshivas, or things like this, where they have tefillin on all day. But they're living on a very high level. Okay, we're not living on that high level, so we don't want to denigrate the tefillin. Imagine if you have your tefillin on when you're going to a basketball game. I mean, it's just you know it's not appropriate to have your tefillin on at a basketball game. Okay, so you're taking off your tefillin. But really, that's the way it's supposed to be. So we have to always remember what it's supposed to be. And therefore, so if we're wearing tefillin, that means as we're wearing in every moment we're wearing it, we're conscious of our relation with Hashem. So Hashem is wearing tefillin, which means, again, it's the thought, not the action. We have to do an action, because without an action, we don't know if we really mean it. But the main thing is the thought, is the feeling of this connection to Hashem. So Hashem wears tefillin in so far that his feelings and thoughts to us are constantly there with a close relationship. So what, when you're wearing tefillin, what are you supposed to be thinking about all the time the tefillin are on? And when Hashem, what is he always thinking about us, which is in line with the same type of thinking that we have towards him, he has towards us. Okay, that's what it really means when he wears tefillin. Yeah, good.
So, you know, you're saying, okay, you cannot wear the tefillin when you go to a basketball game. You can have your tzitzit on. That means the tefillin is at a higher standard.
Yeah, tefillin is much more. Tefillin, it's words of the Torah on parchment.
Yeah, of course, this doesn't.
It's not just a box.
Right.
It is four sections of the Torah. It's right. Like you're, so to speak, walking around with a miniature Sefer Torah to a certain extent. It is a clay kodesh. This is like a holy thing. Tzitzis, it's called tashmish. Is it? There's tashmishe mitzvah and tashmishe kodesh. There's objects of mitzvah and objects of holiness. Tefillin is an object of holiness. So it has to be treated with much. If your tzitzis fall on the ground, that's nothing. Your tefillin fall on the ground, that's almost like a Sefer Torah falling on the ground. So you have a real part of Kedusha. You're carrying Kedusha, as it were. Right? And the Kedusha is carrying on your arms and on your head. That means my actions and my thoughts are all connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you wouldn't take a Sefer Torah to a basketball game. So you're not going to take a miniature Sefer Torah to that. So your whole behavior has to be different when you're behaving that way. The king is even more so. He obviously has a whole Sefer Torah on his arm. A whole Sefer Torah is on his arm all day long. Okay, but for us, it's just a beat film. Yeah?
I have a quick question. When you put on the film in the morning and it's too early, are you supposed to have the thoughts that you're putting it on and then say the brachas later? Or...
Well, again, you should have the thoughts when you're putting them on. You should have
obvious,
thoughts
but...
when you're making the bracha.
Mm-hmm. But
making the bracha, you should have the thoughts.
Yeah, but in the morning, are the thoughts supposed to be...
And again, it's a whole question, though, is tefillin not a nighttime mitzvah as well? That's another issue that we'll talk about. There's reason to say you should wear tefillin at night also. Oh. But the only reason... I mean, why shouldn't you wear tefillin at night?
You fall asleep.
The answer is, you may fall asleep, and then you'll treat the tefillin disrespectfully in your sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But for other than that, you know, like, why not put tefillin on, have tefillin on, which is different than tzitzis.
You're not going to fall asleep during Marav.
I might.
You're not going to fall asleep.
Remember, you're wearing tefillin all day long, Tony.
You might fall asleep.
I'm saying if you're wearing tefillin all day long, and now you're wearing it at night, and you fall asleep, and when you fall asleep, your body is compromised, and you could do things that are not appropriate with the tefillin on. just like you wouldn't hold a sefer Torah when you're going to bed, right? So there's a whole discussion in the Talmud about tefillin at night. It's not the same as tzitzis. Tzitzis, it's a daytime mitzvah. There's no mitzvah. I mean, you can keep them on at night, but you're not fulfilling a mitzvah at night. But tefillin, technically, yeah. Same reason why women don't wear tefillin is because it's harder for them to take care of their bodies than men. Okay, the whole way Hashem designed their bodies is such that they're a certain degree compromised, and therefore it's not going to be appropriate for them to have tefillin all the time. But while we know that Rashi's daughters did wear tefillin, but that shouldn't be a reason that all feminists should now put on tefillin.
Mm-hmm. They're doing it to Lachis now.
Whatever. But anyway, so that's the point. So Hashem is wearing his tefillin. So how do we know this? Shinemar, it says in the Yeshaya, it says, Nishba Hashem bimino. Hashem has sworn by his right hand, Ubizroa uzo, and by the arm of his strength. So what does that mean? So, bimino, his right hand, Zutara. That's a reference to Torah. How do we know that the right hand is Torah? Because if a pasuk in Hazinu, Shinemar, it says, Mimino, from his right hand, he gave to us Esh Doslomo, a fiery Torah to them. So the right hand is associated with Torah. So Hashem swore with his right hand. And what? He swore by Ubizroa Uzo, and by the arm of his strength, Elu Tefillin. This is Tefillin. How do we know that it's Tefillin? Because of the word Uzo, Shenemar, it says, Hashem owes la'amo yite. Hashem will give strength to his people, which is an allusion to tefillin, as we'll see in a minute. So the pasuk says, Hashem has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, means that Hashem swore by the Torah in his right hand and by tefillin, which are worn on the left arm. Okay? And an oath is made while holding a sacred object. Just like the Goyim, they put their hand on a Bible when they swear. Well, we came up with the idea first. So Hashem, as it were, swore by holding both the Torah and his tefillin, as it were. So he swore by the right hand and by the hand of his strength. And how do we know that tefillin is oz? Because it says, first Hashem gave oz to his people. Now, how do we know uminayin shat tefillin oz? How do you know tefillin are an oz, a strength? How do you know that the tefillin give part of the Jews? It's a beferish pasuk. Dichsiv, it says in the blessings to the Jewish people, if we listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, Vera'u kolam ha'aretz, and all the nations of the world will see when they look at you, when they go to battle against you, they're going to see the following. Kishem Hashem nikra alecha, that the name of Hashem is called upon you, v'yiru mimeka, and they will be afraid of you. So what do you mean? They're going to see the name of Hashem is on you when you go to battle, and they're afraid of you? What does that mean? V'etanya, Rabbi Eliezer teaches us, Hagadol Oimer, what does it mean? The name of Hashem, Elu Tefillin Shebarosh. These are the tefillin that are worn on the head. When a Jew wears tefillin on his head, it inspires fear in the hearts of his enemies. So therefore, when the Jews went out to battle, remember, it was the holiest people were the soldiers. Because that was those the ones that Hashem would help. When they went out to battle, they wore their tefillin when they went out to battle. Right? So therefore, you can clearly see that tefillin gives you strength. So let's put all the psukim together. So Hashem will give strength to his people. So you see, strength is an allusion to the tefillin. So when it says the strength of God, it means God's tefillin. Okay? Because when you wear the tefillin, it causes the Shekhinah to dwell on you. When the nations see that, they're afraid. Now, why the tefillin, the head more so than the arm? So the reason is because when you look at the tefillin of the head, what's carved into the side of the box?
Shin.
The letter Shin. Letter Shin is on the box. Their straps are tied together behind the head and it forms a Dalet. Shin and Dalet. Those most of the letters of Hashem's name. The Yud is over here, all right? So most of it is on there, so that will evoke the fear. That's according to one understanding. Also, Reb Elazar specifies tefillin more on the head because they can be seen. The tefillin shel yad is supposed to be covered. So it says tefillin shel rosh will cause fear. And that's the way it's supposed to be. So you're going to ask, so how come when a goy walks in and sees with tefillin, he's not running scared? There's a whole story I told you a year ago. I'm not going to tell the story again. But when you talk with your tefillin on, you take away the kedusha of your tefillin.
What does kedusha mean?
The manifestation of God. Right? Now, that's why you notice that Morty will never talk with his tefillin on.
So how are you supposed
never,
to wear
never, never. He won't say anything.
All day long, then.
What?
How are you supposed to wear it all day long?
Careful what you talk about. You know, listen, you could learn in your tefillin. You can do mitzvahs in your tefillin. Now, a holy person, everything he says is holy. Like, whatever he does is to further God's presence in the world. Okay, someone like the Vilna Gaon could wear tefillin all day long. We're not on this level. We're just not. That's okay. But we have to know that there are goals, and the goals were that we could live on such a level. Not everybody fought in the Israeli army in the times of the Bible. Only the people like the Vilna Gaon. So in the times of the Bible, they had thousands of Vilna Gaons. So those are the ones who went out to battle. They were wearing tefillin all day long, and it evoked great fear, and God gave them great strength from that. So that's the idea. So therefore we know that Hashem has tefillin because he swore by his tefillin, as it were. So we know that he has tefillin.
Just one other comment to what we said earlier about thinking about when you put on the tefillin.
Yeah.
When you wrap around your head.
Yes.
It's very steep.
Yeah, well, you're betrothed.
So you're like,
it's
you're
a betrothal.
Engaged to Hashem.
So and you're winding it around like a ring.
You know, gives you the right context of why you're putting it on.
You know, the problem is it's hard to, you know, always be focused all the time, every day, to think about it, this and that. It's not an easy thing. I mean, again, lahavdil, when a woman wears her wedding ring, her engagement ring, the idea is to remind her to think about her husband. Every time she looks at the ring, oh, my husband, he's so great, this and that, I'm so loyal to him, this, all these things. That's supposed to remind, but, you know, you have to be conscious of that.
So if you want to have a small little schmooze after davening, you have to take off your tefillin first.
Sure.
Yeah, unless you're really careful, the way you're talking about is things that Hashem wants you to talk about. So I'm just saying, so that most people are very careful that while the tefillin are on, they want to keep the kedusha of the tefillin, and the real holy people. When you walk in, you're going to be terrified to see them. Terrified in a good way. Not that they're going to hurt you. But it's just you're in the presence of greatness. Oh. Yeah, you're blown away by their awe. And because they got their tefillin on. It's not an easy thing. But that's the idea. So Hashem has tefillin. So now the question is, Amalei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak or Rav Chiya bar Avin. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says to Rav Chiya bar Avin, okay, so Hashem wears tefillin. So Hani Tefillin Demari Alma. So the tefillin of the creator of the universe, Michael, what is it write in the tefillin? What's in his tefillin as it were? Okay. So why do we have to say that? Because what about our tefillin? Our tefillin, have the words of that you should place it between your eyes and on your hands to remind us to keep Hashem's laws.
This week?
Yes. This week's Parsha, the end. We haven't come yet to the Maver Sedra yet, but it's coming up. So the tefillin serve as a sign to remember the Jews. So if our tefillin are to remember Hashem, so what are Hashem's tefillin for? Okay. Or better yet, which psukim show that Hashem is devoted to the people? Again, it's not that their actual tefillin are there, but what are the feelings that Hashem has to us? Well, let's look in psukim in the Torah that Hashem wrote that tell us what his feelings to us are. Amalei, it's a number of verses. First one is in Divrei Hayamim. Umi kiamcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. And who is like your people Israel, one nation in the land? And it goes on and on and on. A lot of lines here. whom again, whom God went forth to redeem unto himself for a people, achieving for yourself renown for great and marvelous wonders, driving out nations from before your people whom you had redeemed from Egypt. You have made your people Israel people unto yourself forever, and you, Hashem, have been a God for them. So that clearly shows Hashem's feelings towards us. That's one pasuk. And then the question is therefore asked, let me get that back. Umi mishtabeach kutshabrichu bishvchayit Yisrael. And is Hashem praised with the praises of Israel? It seems that the tefillin are extolling the praise of Israel. It says, and who is like your people Israel? So what does that mean? So does God take pride in the Jewish people? The more answers, yep. Ain, yes. Dichsiv, the pasuk says, again in Dvarim, it says, "Es Hashem he'emarta hayom." You have praised Hashem today to be a God for you, and to walk in His ways, and to observe His decrees, His commandments, and His statutes, and to hearken to His voice. In other words, we have designated Hashem as our God to show our special relationship with Him. And the rest of the pasuk says, right afterwards, "Vashem he'emarta hayom," and Hashem has praised you today, and making us unique to be a treasured people as He spoke to you to observe His commandments. So each of us feel that the other one is unique. And that's what the Gemara now explains with the Pesukim. Amalek HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to the Jewish people, Atem asisani chativa achas v'olam, you made me a subject of unique praise in the world. Right? You praise my uniqueness. So guess what? So that's what a chativa is, a unique praise. Okay, vani esa oscham chativa, and I also make a unique praise for you as well. Okay, now how do we know that the Jewish people made Hashem a unique praise and Hashem made a unique praise for the Jews? Atem asisina chativa, well, you made me the subject of a unique praise, Shenemar, because what do you say every day? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that's the unique praise you say about me. Vania says, "Chom chativa asbolam," and I make a unique praise about you, as we said, "Shenemar umi kam chayshol goyachad baaretz." Who is like the Jewish people, one unique nation in all the land? So therefore, Hashem it gets a lot of satisfaction of saying this praise. So we have unique praises for Hashem, and Hashem has unique praises for us, and that's the first main pasuk of the tefillin.
So we have to stay unique.
That's right. So now we know when you wear tefillin, there are four compartments in the tefillin, and there's four separate passages in the Torah about that. So if Hashem has tefillin, then I guess his tefillin have to have, there must be more than one thought that he's having to us. There must be at least four thoughts, so to speak, for the tefillin. So therefore, Rav Acha Breider says to Rav Ashi, Tainach b'chadbe. So that's good with one of the compartments. Fine. Bishar batenai. What about the other three compartments? So now he rattles off a number of psukim. Amrelei. Okay. Let's look. Besides mikam chisro goyachod boretz. That was one pasuk. But there's another section. It says kimi goy gadol, which is a great nation that has a God who is close to it, as is Hashem our God whenever we call to Him. And another, and as well, another pasuk says, Umi goy gadol, and which is a great nation that has righteous decrees and ordinances, which as is this entire Torah that I have placed before you this day. And another pasuk, Ashrecha Yisrael, fortunate are you, the Jewish people, who is like you, O people delivered by Hashem, the shield of your help, who is the sword of your grandeur. Your foes will try to deceive you, but you'll trample their haughty ones. And another pasuk, O Hanis Elokim, has there ever been a God miraculously come to take for himself a nation from amidst a nation with challenges, with signs, with this whole story of taking us out of Egypt? Was there any ever time in history that God took a nation out of a nation? And another pasuk, to make you supreme over all the other nations. That's another long set of psukim. Hashem is making us supreme over the other nations. Now, what's the problem? That's more than four sections. You've got six verses, should be six compartments. God doesn't have six compartments. So no, what we're going to do is that four of them, two are very similar to each other, another two are very similar to each other, so they go together in one compartment. So Ella, ki mi goy gadol, the pasuk of who is such a great nation, and the other section, umi goy gadol, who's not a great nation, those different praises said, but they're both combined, and it says who's a unique nation. The dam and the dam, they're similar to each other, b'chad beis, so they're written in one compartment. And the other two, which says ashrecha Yisrael, fortunate are you, the Jewish people, and the other pasuk, umi ke'amchas, who is like the Jewish people, they're also similarly worded. B'chad beis is in one compartment, and then you got the other two. Oh, Hanisa Lakim B'chad beis. So the pasuk that starts with Oh, Hanisa is another compartment. Sitcha Yom B'chad beis, and to make you supreme is another compartment. So therefore, we've got all six compartments. It becomes four, and then the Gemara concludes on the top above Amid beis V'kula Ksivi Be'edra A. And all these verses are written in the tefillin that are worn in the arm. What is the more meaning to say? That in the tefillin worn on the arm, all these psukim are found in a single compartment. Remember, by the Rosh, there's four separate compartments. The Yad, there's one compartment. So, therefore, it's the same thing is going to be on the arm as well, so to speak.
As well.
Right? So Marsha, that's the way Rashi explains this. Marsha has a whole discussion. He objects to Rashi's explanation, arguing that if this is the Gemara's point, it would have said so explicitly. All of them are written in the tefillin and worn in the arm in one compartment. Why didn't you say one compartment? Therefore, the Marsha has a different explanation. He says, since the preceding discussion is based on the verse, all the nations of the world will see, which is the first tefillin worn in the head, one might have thought that Hashem only wears tefillin on the head. Because we said Hashem is strength. Tefillin is strength. Strength. He gave strength to Jews. What was strength to Jews? On the head.
Strength is
Remember we said they're going to see you and be afraid. That's the tefillin shel Rosh. Mm-hmm. That gives you the power. So I might think Hashem doesn't even have tefillin on the hand at all. So we say, no, there's tefillin on the hand as it were. Remember, head is thoughts, arm is action. In other words, we have tefillin that we're thinking about our special relation with Hashem. And we're doing things based on the thinking. So Hashem's the same thing. His feelings towards us is one thing, and what he does for us is based on that as well. Okay, that ends the discussion of tefillin. We still have five more minutes. We move on to another discussion about people going to shul. We're continuing, what's the connection? It's the same rabbi's statements. That's the connection. Omar Ravin bar Rav Ada, Omar Rav Yitzchak. It's the same rabbi saying the same statements. A person is usually comes to shul every day, and all of a sudden, v'lo ba yom echad, he doesn't come one day. Why doesn't he come? We'll see. So what happens? You think he doesn't get noticed? HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashal bo. Hashem inquires about him. Okay, he wants to know how come he didn't go to shul. Now, of course, Hashem knows what's going on over here, but he wants to know, was he absent because he had to do a mitzvah? Or some personal matter, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute. In other words, did he have a good excuse to not be in shul, or a bad excuse to not be in shul? It seems that a guy who doesn't go to shul at all, Hashem's not interested at all, because the guy doesn't come to shul. But the guy comes to shul every day, he davens, so it's important to him. Also, he doesn't show up one day. So Hashem's saying, well, what's with my fellow here? And how do we know Hashem inquires? Shenemar, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, he says, now, the simple meaning of the pasuk is going to be, who amongst you fears Hashem? Okay? And it says, one who walks in darkness and does not have light, he is suffering and yet trusts in God. That's the pasuk shot. He's going to take it different beyond that. Mi bachem yorei Hashem shomea bekol avdo. Who is there among you that fears Hashem, who listens to the voice of his servant? Well, here it means, fears Hashem is taking the reference to this person who's accustomed to attending shul daily. That means he fears Hashem. Okay? So, when the souls of people rise to heaven at night, Hashem says, who is there among you that fears Hashem? So, I want to know, who went to shul today? So, since the guy regularly goes to shul, God will listen to his prayers. Again, mi bachem yorei Hashem, who amongst you fears Hashem? So, shomei b'kol, Hashem listens to his voice. That's the Pashup Shah. You come at night, you know, you come, you talk, I listen. You go to my shul, I listen, says Hashem. Next part of the Pasuk, Asher Holach Chashachim Veinogalo. One who walked in darkness and does not have no God, does not have light. On this, so normally, you're a guy who fears me, and you speak to me, and I listen to you. But on this occasion, instead of going to shul, you went into darkness. Rather than arise in the light of morning to ascend the shul, you're walking out. Usually they went to shul early. It was nighttime before morning. So you got up in darkness and there's no light for you. Whatever. You decided that you wanted to attend to your business instead of davening first or whatever. So now Hashem wants to know, like, what happening? Are you in the dark or what? So Rav Yitzchak explains that whether or not the person does not have light depends on why he left. So if he had to go, let's say he had to do a mitzvah. There was a Jew who was a captured slave, and he went to redeem him. Oh, so he went to do a mitzvah? Then no gala. Then it's light for the person. Hashem says, okay, you have a good excuse why you're not there. Because if you're doing one mitzvah, you're exempt from another mitzvah. If it's a compelling mitzvah, I understand you couldn't be in shul. But if he just went for a mundane thing, he didn't have to go at that time, then ain no galo. He does not have light. He will not succeed in his endeavor. Now the pasuk ends. Yiftach b'shem Hashem. Let him trust in the name of Hashem. My time. What's the reason he doesn't have light? If he doesn't go to shul, but instead he goes to mundane things, it's going to be dark for him. Why? Mishum dehavel yiftach b'shem Hashem lo batach. He should have trusted in the name of Hashem, and he did not trust in him. So interesting. So one mind of reason. That since it's a mitzvah to earn a livelihood for one's family, the law should be that when a person engages in this pursuit, he's not required to attend the synagogue, because it's a mitzvah. The pasuk therefore refutes the argument by saying, you got to trust in God, he's going to give you a living. Mm-hmm. In other words, the guy said, listen, Rabbi, I'd love to come to shul, but I have to be downtown at 8 o'clock. Really? You have to be downtown at 8 o'clock? Yeah, because my job starts at 8 o'clock. Who asked you to take such a job? Oh, if I don't have that job, I'm going to die. Oh, really? If you don't have that job, you're going to die? You don't think I'm going to take care of you? That's what Hashem is saying. So if it's mamasha mitzvah that, you know, someone's life is in danger, somebody's sick, you got to go to the hospital, Hashem says that's a mitzvah. That's priority over davening. But just making a parnasa at the expense of not davening in a shul, for that, why are you doing that? I'm the one who gives you parnasa, so you're not having... So Hashem asks about the guy. So the Gra explains that during the time of prayer, it's not a mitzvah to earn a living, because he should rather go at that time to beseech Hashem for his needs. Where he daven Hashem, Hashem, help me with parnasa, that's the real key to parnasa. Then he's just going through the motions. But by working instead of davening, he shows his lack of faith in Hashem. So a guy who normally goes to shul, now today he's not. So why not? Well, they called an early meeting, so I'm not going to meet today.
You should have rescheduled it.
You have to say, I'm sorry, I can't make it to the meeting. Okay, but the boss says, I really want you to the meeting. I say, I'm sorry, I have to pray first, but we really want you to the meeting. So you have to, it's bitachon. You have to, you know, just, so if you don't have a meeting, you're fired. Okay, now you have to ask yourself a question. You think Hashem is going to have you starve to death because you're dominating too? So that takes bitachon. So Hashem asks about the guy. And if you go for not a good reason, it's not going to be light for you. And that's what is going to be the point over there. Okay, tomorrow we're going to deal with Hashem comes to shul and there ate a minion in shul. What does Hashem have to say about that?
Send out an email. That's what he said. No.